Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are excited that you are tuning in today for Salvation Sunday. This is a day where we go through the Old Testament and New Testament, and we look at areas where people stood up and saw God's deliverance. And so that is what we are doing. If you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you are in that Washington Defender app, either the web app or the phone app, I want to encourage you to place this inside of your huddle. Today, its title is called Shifra and Pua. Are you like Shifra and Pua? These two amazing women. Oh, you got to hear about them. Shifra and Pua. All right. If you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. A couple of you have asked, how are the fires in Spokane? And again, hundreds, maybe 1,000, I don't know, of families have lost their homes, and at least the high 700-800. And you need to be praying for them. And we just got to figure it out as a community, how to take care of them and how to love them. So you can be God's hands and feet in this time of crisis here in Spokane, and just to be directed by the Lord in what to do and how to practically help our neighbor. All right, so let's dive into Shifra and Pua. Exodus chapter 1, verse 10. Let's actually start in verse 8. Now, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So remember, Joseph was sold out by his family. We talked about that last week. And then it was exactly the time that God wanted to rescue Israel and bring that family down to Egypt to take care of them during a famine. Okay. And so Joseph interprets a dream, 7 years of plentiful, 7 years of famine. And so he had stored up everything that the family would need to preserve Israel. Now, also remember that before Joseph, Abraham had foreseen this day because God showed it to him. So we know that this time of bondage, or this time in Egypt, was God's design to provide for Israel and to be a part of the redemptive story. So now it says, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So this new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. There we go. He said to his people, behold, the people, the sons of Israel, are more and mightier than we. Okay, so this guy who's Pharaoh has a fear. The Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews are more than they are. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land. All right, here we go. Fear-based leadership is taking place. Pharaoh's afraid, and so he says, let's do something to hurt them, because if they keep multiplying like they are, then they may turn against us. So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom, and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The sons of who? Israel. All right. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter and hard labor in mortar and bricks and all the kinds of labor in the field, all their labors, which they rigorously imposed on them. So yesterday's blessing, the blessing that Joseph had and brought his family legally migrated to Egypt to provide during the time of famine, had become today's curse. And so Israel was living in one sense in exile, right? As slaves, and the taskmasters and those made their work so much laborious and horrible and rigorous, and they imposed on them. So then what happens? Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shifra, and the other was named Pua. Look at that. These are Egyptian midwives. And he said to them, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. All right. Notice this. Pharaoh goes after the boys to kill them. Anytime we see a major shift in history, babies get killed. Look at that. Isn't that interesting? And boys specifically. And you may be thinking, how is that happening today? Think about the transgender movement. Think about what they're trying to do to demasculate society and culture to make it more feminine. They may not physically be killing them, but they're killing the little lions in the hearts of our young men. Now look at this. But the midwives feared God. Whew. So Pharaoh didn't fear God, but the midwives feared God. And that, now, who are these midwives? Let's go back. To the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shiphrah and the other was Puah. So these are Hebrew midwives. And basically he's asking them, I think I said earlier they're Egyptian midwives. I said that wrong. So they're Hebrew midwives and they're asking them to kill the little kids, the boys. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? So here we have Shiphrah and Puah not obeying Pharaoh, and they're kind of like civil disobedience because Pharaoh's decree violated God's decree, and they feared God more than Pharaoh. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them. Okay. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So we see that these midwives feared God. You want to see the salvation of the Lord? Fear God. Fear him alone. Say, God, I live for you. I live under a fear and reverence and awe of Almighty God. I'm still wrestling in my head. Were they midwives to the Hebrews, or were they Hebrews who were midwives to the Hebrews? I don't know. I actually never read that those two different ways as I have right now. So we'll have to research that a little bit more. I don't know if they were Egyptian midwives who took care of the Hebrew women, or if they were Hebrew midwives. I never noticed that before. So there we go. We're learning something new together. That's a lot of fun. All right. So then we see that Pharaoh commands all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Here's something you should think about today. God wants you to be on the side of life. God wants you to be on the side of what's right, of reverence. If we look at the job descriptions of the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give you life and life abundantly. And we look at the abortion issue, and we look at policies around abortion or killing kids. One is death. You say, well, it's not a human being. Yes, it is. You know it is. I know it is. We don't have to dispute that. We all, if you want to say, quote, believe the science, it's a heartbeat. It's DNA. It's code. It's a person. It's a soul, right? So on one hand, we have a party that goes towards death. And on the other hand, we have a group of people or policies that go towards life. I hope you have a fear of God, that we will move towards life. That's salvation. Now, why do we call it Salvation Sunday? Because we want to look at people who God uses to save people. Now, we know that salvation's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again that you may have eternal life. No man can go to the Father except through him. There's only one that saves, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect one who died for our sins and rose again. So what does the Bible say? If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So turn in repentance, saying, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. Your payment on the cross, your burial and resurrection, I accept your payment. And allow Jesus to move in your heart and your mind. Now, if you're a Shifra or a Pua, in other words, you're in a position where you can do the right thing, today is the day to do the right thing. Give life. Stand for life. Today's the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know as a state, the state of Washington, we have chose death over and over and over. We have aborted so many kids, God. We have not treated our elderly well, God. We haven't respected even sometimes our own bodies, God. We know that, God, whether it's the baby in the womb to not taking care of ourselves or not taking care of the elderly, God, we've done all of that. So we confess to you that we are sinners, God, that need a Savior. We need you to come in, and we confess that we are wrong for choosing death. Would you please pour out your mercy and grace on us? We don't even deserve it, God. We want to be people who bless you. And so we ask for that forgiveness and mercy and grace. We ask for forgiveness of the policies that come out of Olympia that support death, division, destruction. God, to look at those policies that somehow convince us that we can create our own heaven here on earth. Forgive us, God. God, we want to choose you, and we do choose you today. God, we pray for Bob Ferguson, Governor Bob Ferguson. We pray, let salvation come to him and his family. We pray for President Trump, let salvation come to him and his family. Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, God, Michael Baumgartner, Rob Chase, Leonard Christian. God, we just need salvation to flow over our elected officials. There's so many of them, I can't name them all, God. But we do pray that you would just bless each of these elected officials, those in authority, that you would go before them, bless them with salvation, God. Call them to the cross in repentance, God. And if some of them are saved, God, we pray that they would act out of fear, like these two midwives, out of fear of you, God. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.